Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from a familiar passage out of Isaiah and also a familiar story from the Gospel of Luke. First, out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And then out of the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Christmas was 2 weeks ago, so we're not moving backward, but what I want to do today is embrace what happened 2 weeks ago as we move forward and take it with us and follow through with it into this new year. Many of you know this, and maybe some of you have seen this, but my daughter-in-law, Amy, gave me one of those beautiful Dickens Department 56 manger scenes a number of years ago, maybe 12, 13, 14 years ago. She loves the Dickens villages, has a number of them herself in her house. And she wanted me to have one, especially of the manger scene, which she knew I would love. And of course, she was right. Because ever since putting it up that first Christmas, it has stayed up in my office every day, every year since, available not only for me to see, but for others to see, and especially for my granddaughters, Hannah and Ellie, especially when they were younger, to play with and to rearrange the figurines in the manger. In addition to those you would normally find in a manger scene, Mary, Joseph, the baby Jesus in a cradle, angels, shepherds, sheep, palm trees, a star over the manger, wise men and camels, there was and is a little dog in a yellow chair with a red stocking cap on his head and a green wreath around its neck. That was the first dog that was at the manger scene. The girls found that in their daddy's play school set from 48 years prior. Hannah put it there that first Christmas, where it stayed for years. A few years ago, it mysteriously disappeared and now has been replaced with another little dog, also still sitting in that yellow chair. I thought about moving the dog in the chair out of the manger scene at one point early, but Hannah would not let me. And later, Ellie, when she discovered what I was thinking, she wouldn't let me either. I mean, think about it. Shepherds, sheep, camels, angels, and wise men. But a dog in a red stocking cap on its head with a green wreath around its neck? Come on. I mean, that's totally out of place, at least by normal standards, at least by my standards, I thought and pleaded with them, to no avail. But maybe that's because of the way I felt at times in the past or feel at times today. Maybe it's the way you feel at times, feeling like we don't deserve to be there. Not at the manger with the baby. We don't belong there. Maybe we don't feel welcome. Maybe we feel out of place. Or we know someone who feels that way. We're not worthy, or they don't feel worthy. Maybe Christmas memories are difficult for you, for them, and not much at all about a baby in a manger. Because for years before and after I was married, Christmas was a time for me of mixed feelings, with memories of Christmases past as a child flooding in and interfering with the joys and the reason for Christmas. I can remember as a child living with both sets of grandparents at different times, and then many places with my dad and my stepmother, brother and sisters, always, it seemed, moving for financial reasons at some point. But I don't remember many good moments around Christmas. And some Christmases, I don't remember at all. I remember almost dropping out of the fourth school that I attended during 1 year in the ninth grade, that ninth grade year. And I was going to drop out to start a career at a local gas station. But I don't remember a tree, presents, or where my family was that Christmas day. The next Christmas, I was pretty sick, and remember my brother and sisters being told that they wouldn't get any gifts that year because the money was spent on my medicine. I can remember when the family was finally broken up, my brother and sisters put in foster care, and I rebelled, wouldn't go. I guess at age 17, I could say I wasn't going to go. And I never really thought about it this way before, but I was homeless during the end of my junior year and then all of my senior year of high school. So I worked three or more jobs my last 2 years in high school, living on my own, paying room and board at various people's homes to stay there with the graciousness of one family, not charging me rent at all for a period. No Christmases, though, no presents, and no one attending my high school graduation or anything else that I did, whether it be baseball games or basketball games that I played in. Despite all of that and more, I realized later that God did put a few good friends and mentors, teachers and coaches into my life to encourage and guide me along the way, even though they didn't know all that was my life then, what I was going through. And definitely, definitely, I never visited the manger. I wasn't mad at God. I didn't really know him that well. I was aware of him. I'd heard about him, but I never visited the manger. I was too busy trying to survive. I remember Linda walking on eggshells our first years of marriage, never knowing what might trigger a memory from my past to mess up our Christmas together. And even though memories of Christmases past linger for me today, when I finally allowed the miracle and the majesty of the birth of Christ, which occurred at the manger, when I let it into my life, he began to restore and heal and direct my heart and my life. We've all had some times in our lives, all of us, difficult and painful to remember, right? We've all had some difficult moments and done some things we can't seem to forget, or can't seem to forget what somebody did to us. Or maybe we struggle with what we're going through now through some uncertainty, not at all sure what tomorrow will bring. But Christ's call to us, like Isaiah's that we read a moment ago, is to visit the manger and embrace afresh and anew the restoring, transforming, and eternal hope of all the world for you and for me, which we will find lying there. My friends, let me ask you this. When was the last time that you stopped and visited the manger? I mean, really stopped and visited, sat there, maybe next to that little dog or somebody else. Not just the wise men and the shepherds and the angels. And not just when we were counting the days to Christmas recently or on Christmas Day a few weeks ago, but at any time during the year. It's the reminder that occurred a couple of weeks ago that I needed, and probably why I decided to leave the manger scene up all year long after Amy gave it to me so many years ago. When was the last time you visited the manger and just stopped and rested there with the baby? That's where we find encouragement and love in the midst of difficulty of our life. That's where we find hope when all seems hopeless. That's where we'll find meaning and direction when the world points to a different way. We've just been through Christmas, reminding us that there is an undercurrent of excitement in the world around us, and it's not involved with what we read about or see on TV that's going on in the world around us. It's for a good reason that there's an undercurrent. And it's the reason that Isaiah whispered to his people long ago, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given." And as it was here 2 weeks ago, it is here today and every day of our lives because he is here. And I'd like to remind each of you to remember that, to believe that for your lives. There are times when we don't notice it in the busyness of our days or in the memories of past failures or times where we've come up short in life, or maybe when we find ourselves at a crossroads, not knowing which way to go, all of which can rob us of the joy and excitement of where we've been, the manger. But Isaiah was saying to those folks way back then, and is saying to us today, don't give up. There is something more coming, something so important, so much more important than anything else. And then in his gospel, Luke writes about the moment and says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. It really happened, and it happened in a lowly, straw-filled manger in a dirty, damp stable, but it was a birthplace filled by a love and a hope which can overcome all our sorrows. Memories of heartaches from days gone by, disappointments, busyness, loneliness, and the uncertainties about tomorrow. That's where we've been and always need to be, at the manger, with the baby who is the hope for all our lives and for all the world. That's why I keep the figurines Amy gave me up all the time, all year long, to remind me of that majestic moment over 2,000 years ago, a moment which not only ensures our place in eternity with him, but ensures us that today and every day of our lives, the baby in the manger, the Christ of the cross and the empty tomb, the King of kings and Lord of lords, is with us, lifts us, loves us, and will move with us each day into the life we were meant to live. When was the last time you visited him in the manger? Look, it's where you belong. I'm headed there now. Once again, to join the little dog in the yellow chair and others to look at and reflect on what God did for us in the manger, in the stable, behind the inn so long ago, telling us in that moment how much he loves us and will always be with us. How about you? It may be a good time to head there again. What do you think? You belong there. He's always there, waiting for you, expecting you. Go. Go. Don't miss the moment. It's always the right time for you and me to visit the manger. It will change more than our perspective. It will change and continue to change our lives forever. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this moment today to just pause and remember what we celebrated a couple of weeks ago, and that we need to embrace and celebrate every day, every moment of our lives, what you did for us by sending your son into a straw-filled manger cradle in a dirty, damp, and dark stable in the middle of Bethlehem. Who'd have thought of it? But you did, and you did it for us because you love us, and you're always there for us. Help us, Lord, every moment to remember that moment and to visit the manger, to spend more time with you, to let you direct and lead and heal our lives, and then to move out with you every day of our lives, every moment of our lives, to be all that you created us to be, and to make a difference in the lives around us and in the world around us, with you and for others. Thanks for loving us. Thank you for that privilege, and thanks for all you do for us and with us, and will do. And it's in your precious son's name, the baby in the manger, that we will visit regularly going forward, that we pray. Amen. And amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.